Our guest for the remainder of the hour, Senator Jeff Wilson. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Well, good to talk to everybody today. Thanks, Johnny. Happy Friday.
Woohoo! Okay, so you're sponsoring quite a few bills. You're a secondary sponsor for some bills going on in the session right now. Can you tell me what's the difference between sponsoring a bill? I know this is kind of like a lame kind of newbie question, but a primary sponsor versus secondary sponsor, what's the difference and why would you do something like that?
Well, you know, what's in a name or a title? A sponsor or the primary sponsor is that representative or senator that is, it is their bill. They're the one that have brought it forward to the rest of the members. So they kind of the author. The co-sponsor, which is a number two spot, we call it, there's a primary co-sponsor. So the number two position is usually coveted to your best and your first partner of choice. Who's going to help you with this bill across the aisle, Democrat or Republican, senator? It would be great. That's what starts a bipartisan bill when you have the number one of the author, the number two across the aisle, and then after that, everybody else is kind of just a regular co-sponsor to join on that bill.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the bills that you've authored. Which of all of them do you think is the most impactful to folks in Grace Harbor and Pacific County?
Well, you know, I like all the bills. However, playing favorites should be something like housing and affordability in housing. I think that's probably one of our biggest crises that we face, not only in Grace Harbor, but, you know, all around the state. We're about a million homes short for the next 20 years, according to all the studies. So it's something we need to build, and I would probably always say, let's get people under a good roof.
So like Senate Bill 5552, the kit homes, would that
absolutely
be one of them?
Absolutely. This is a bill that we have brought back. It's passed the Senate before, but I think it's one of the best choices to add to the menu of what kind of home do we want or where do we want it. These are kit homes. They're built at a factory, and it comes to you in pieces. You can assemble it or a contractor. That shaves off a lot of costs. And, you know, it's not a new idea. It's over 100 years ago, the Sears and Roebuck, you could buy a house in the catalog. So, and some of those are still standing in Grays Harbor, by the way.
Right. So what's next for this? It has to go to committee now?
Yeah, there's one of the kit home bills has been heard. Hopefully next week the other one will. But, you know, it should get a priority because a housing is agreed upon by both sides of the aisle. You know, something we've got to address. We talk about it. So it's time that we legislate about it, get these bills going forward, and look for a lot of other housing bills this year, you know, Johnny, for me to drop, as long as it doesn't break the bank and it's a real shot for people to get housing. That they can afford.
Right. Many say that there's too many restrictions or too many hoops to jump through with permits and requirements. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I've got a really big opinion coming because more housing bills I'm going to drop. I've been meeting with agencies and cities and saying, how do you want to reduce fees or the impact to help incentivize to start building more homes? So I do have a couple of bills in work, but they're just too early to spell out because I don't want to mispronounce a word on the radio and imply the wrong thing other than there's three more bills coming, and I can't wait to talk to you about it in 2 weeks.
All right. So mum's the word. None of them are
good.
None of them have to do with cow farts, so that's good. Are we going to stay at standard time or just stay at one time?
Yeah, there's another one of those bills I've got out there. And ditching the switch to try to end it once and for all, to quit having to set your clocks forward and back, spring forward, fall back. That bill, though, right now is only in committee, and it hasn't received a hearing yet. So, again, a little too early in the season to report whether we're going to get any traction on it. So that's another stay tuned.
Okay. Well, what other bills are getting some action, some traction?
Well, one of my favorite topics right now is the electric vehicle fee or free, I'll call it. You notice there's charging stations that are starting to pop up in all of our communities where these cars plug in and essentially fill up their type tank of gas and electricity. However, my quest is, I think that electric vehicles should be looked at a little bit more on the road impact of collection of fees. Now, I don't want to scare anybody here. Don't want any gas tax, because an electric vehicle can't have a gas tax to fill up at the pump. So a lot of my bills coming out will deal with how do we collect a fair fee at the kilowatt, the charging station itself. Why aren't we treating, say, an hour of kilowatt electricity the same as a gallon or liter, and then put that into the road transportation fund? So we quit crying so much blues is, why are our transportation projects underfunded? I'm kind of sending the tone here that I think electric vehicles can step up and do a little bit more per mile to contribute to the road use and the repairs that we all need, Kyle. So I don't know if I'm going to get any callers in real quick on it. Before we do, I got to confess, I do have an electric vehicle, and I want to pay more.
How do you like it anyway?
Well, it's interesting. You can't hear an engine. It allows you to turn the radio a little down. You don't have to try to turn it up to drown out the engine noise, at least. And it's unique, but it's unique for my purpose. And I always tell people, we shouldn't force you to do this. Pick the car that's right for you. For me, it worked out great on a little commuter. But when it comes to dependability and getting to the far trips, I still use those old fossil fuel burning vehicles I have, Johnny.
Okay, so we have Senate Bill 5047, which deals with protections for people in the participating in the initiative and referendum process. Can you kind of dumb that down for me?
Yeah, well, you know, with last year's elections came with a record number of initiatives that, you know, the public, the people brought forward, all those signature gatherers last year stood on corners and streets and collected signatures for initiatives. Unfortunately, we had some bad incidences where people were harassed and threatened. And, you know, we got to keep the peace during the initiative signing process. I mean, after all, Washington State gives us that wonderful power to form initiatives. So I think this bill says, let's be a little bit more calm about this and try to find ways to give them their space. You don't have to go sign the initiative, but can we get along in a peaceful manner? So I think some perimeters and boundaries to make it a more peaceful process versus what we saw here not too long ago, you know, interruptions. And it just got a little ugly, Johnny, so I think we needed to set a precedent here.
Okay, how about Senate Bill 5250, when dealing with the legal process and squatters?
Oh, boy, I want that bill heard. Housing, like I said, it's not early in the program. Not only do we need houses, we need tons of rentals and apartments and all forms of housing. Unfortunately, we've seen the process where, let's say, a vacant or an unused home gets visited by the non-owners and, quite frankly, trespassers, and we know them as squatters. It's simply been an unfair process for the property owner to not to evict, but to go after a squatter that, you know, lays claim to their property, putting the homeowner in a jeopardy to say, is this really real? Is somebody really can come into my house and potentially possess it, even though it's yours? This is a private property type bill that we need to address. So although it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, Johnny, boy, does it get attention there. Squatters in the house.
Right. It's a quarter till. We have one more segment talking with Senator Jeff Wilson. If you have any questions for him, you can email or text message johnny@jodesha.com for local matters. It's about 13 minutes till we're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson about the legislative session. Can you clear up the electric vehicle stuff we were talking about?
Absolutely, Johnny. Thank you. I'm referring to all those charging stations with a cord where you plug your car in at that are public. In other words, you, the taxpayer, have provided, say, at a state building, an agency. And I don't understand why it is free a lot of the time. In other words, what I'm saying is these charging stations the government may have provided for the public, why is there not a cost recovery? It's like getting free gasoline, and that was my point. Why should an electric vehicle kind of get free fuel at a charging station when the rest of us don't get it at the gas station in the form of petroleum. So just looking for a way to invite fair participation for energy use for all kinds of cars and trucks to drive down the road. Pay the fair share.
Got a text with the new all-powerful AI and computers. Why not require a flash drive in electric cars that record mileage and give Washington DOT an accurate total cost to the motorists?
Well, that would be similar to the proposed, say, tracking system that from our road usage chart that's proposed to collect more fees from, let's say, the diminishing gas taxes that we're looking at. I'm going to have to take a cautious approach, Johnny, on tracking or devices that are put in and knows our every move. That's what I'm hearing from constituents is the concern of, you know, a little bit of intrusion into where that vehicle is on a private basis. So that's yet to be decided more.
All right. Hey, if you have any questions for the senator, you can email, you can text message. That's Johnny at Jodesha.com. You know, we have a signal in Pacific County on 106.5. Can we talk about evacuation towers there?
Absolutely. For all of your listeners, and that includes Pacific County, most of, you know, that the tsunami threats, I believe, are real or practicing for an emergency, but we don't have the hardware, including evacuation towers, where in case of a tsunami-type incident, residents can go and get to that higher ground for getting away from danger. Having said that, I believe there's only a couple in the whole district, one at the Shoalwater area and the other in the Acosta School District. So Long Beach and Pacific County does it's more than their turn to get an evacuation tower. And there are talks underway on the federal end of things to get that financed. But at the state level, I'd like to push a little bit more for the state to contribute, you know, to our friends all up and down that long peninsula. After all, that's is at sea level as you're ever going to get.
We talked a little earlier on one of your bills in regards to, you know, gathering signatures, but you also have a couple bills that relate to or have to deal with the election and casting your vote. Would you like to talk about those?
Absolutely. Election security and integrity is always going to be a topic, you know, before and after elections. Last year, we had some bad actors or actor try to destroy ballots in Vancouver, Washington area, and subsequently in Oregon. That was an attack on the private ballot of each and every one of you, which we need to do a better job of protecting or making that process a little bit more secure and telling people that tampering with the process, such as your ballots in a ballot box, is a felony. However, maybe we can upgrade our security with cameras or other ways where we can say those ballot boxes will be more protected so we can get your ballot counted instead of, well, in this case, destroyed. Attacks on your ballot is something that we better take it very seriously. So simple bills to ensure a better process.
So how long has Republicans been in the minority in Washington State? Do you know?
I don't have that number. I can tell you it's going to be a very long time. Maybe someday I can say there'll be a closer ballot. That would be something I can always look forward to versus a bigger majority. It'd be nicer if the numbers were closer, at least so that we knew we'd have to, I guess, discuss it out a little bit more further. To even the playing field should encourage both sides to work a little harder, I guess.
Senate Bill 5247, the Nacell Youth Camp property. Any movement with that?
Yes, that bill is actually in Ways and Means, and there is it's another committee. Can't track it right now. It is going to be amended for your listeners that may think we're giving government property free to somebody else. The bill is going to be amended to actually provide a lease between the Chinook and that facility. The ultimate thing here is we have a defunct facility, and we do need to get some activity going there before we have a ghost town in the cell. Got to have an economic driver start back up there like it used to be. I think this will be one of the faster ways is to start that with that entity, and we can move it forward.
Yeah, wasn't that NACEL youth camp being productive, and then the governor shut it down?
Well, I thought it was very productive. It was a youth camp, of course, for troubled boys, we'll call them, or young men, and it served a purpose, but it always had been a target. I guess we staved off the inevitable sooner than later, as the previous governor wanted it closed. He got it closed, but now we have a nothing there. So we need this. We need to do something else besides do nothing. And that's what we've done. We've had a task force. We've got the bills. The activity is to get back on that property and to start building it up, make NACEL a little bit more better on the map, I guess, for their community.
Yeah, it seems like he used those emergency powers to do quite a few things, even change laws that voters voted for. But anyway, I digress. Those
may not have been the good old days. So.
Right. And does the state government, tribal affairs, and elections committee sound familiar when it comes to the NACEL youth camp?
Absolutely. Okay. That's the committee that I am the ranking member on, and I serve with a chair and the full committee and vice chair. And this bill is now, I don't have a date, but I'm asking it to be heard so we can discuss it. Right now it's just a bill. But like all bills, they need to try to get their time in front of an audience, the public, and the committee to hear it. And that bill, I don't believe, is scheduled for next week, maybe the week after, I hope.
Okay, so you said to hear it. What are the stages of a bill? Let's say you have, we'll take the County Weed Board's Senate Bill 5018. You write this bill, you introduce it, then what happens?
Then a lot of people get together and they direct that bill to what is the proper committee it needs to go to, who will hear it, you know, in their expertise or their genre assigned to that committee. Then the chair is the most powerful person in committee, works with others, but ultimately decides on what bills will be heard and will not. So if you do get a hearing, that's the time to, to participate, I guess, is the public and, interest to state your mind on that bill. And we encourage people to reach out to my office. We'll help connect you with really easy ways to testify on a bill. We'll make it easy for you because we want to hear what you say on the bill before we vote on a bill out of committee known as executive session.
So it's introduced, then it goes into a committee, and then it goes for a vote then?
No, most bills' first success story is just to get heard on the agenda. A lot of bills never even make it to a hearing. They kind of just stall or die out in committee. But if you can get a bill heard, now you're off to the convincing market as why it's a good bill. If you can get the votes and get the committee to vote on it, that's another great process. And then you could vote it out to another committee. It can go to a number of avenues, a consent calendar, and I don't think we'll have enough time to explain it, but the bill's path from birth to signing by the governor has so many steps. It's like a great mystery game. Figure it out one step at a time.
Is it hard to get a bill passed?
Absolutely, because essentially, Johnny, everybody has a good idea. Most bills, start out with an intention of good that was brought to them or to fix a problem, maybe create a problem. But there are so many bills, ultimately a few thousand, that are introduced, you couldn't all hear them if you wanted to, especially because we're a part-time legislature. Had we'd have been a full-time one, that would increase your chances of your bills to maybe move along. But the death rate is high. So fingers crossed, and there's a lot of work that we do to push these bills and to move them forward to make sure there's a benefit to our constituents.
I got a text. What is his stance on the cow fart bill?
Oh, my heavens. This is a very, it's not a trap topic. I just think we should release some hot air and move on the topic.
Okay. I have another text here. Let's see.
It's a silly bill, in other words.
Right. Actually, I have a whole bunch of texts here. Google on my phone tracks where I am within inches. Most all new cars come already connected to the internet. Just recording the mileage would be easy to keep private. I think they're talking about charging station thing, maybe?
Absolutely. The point of the electric vehicle bills that I'm dropping is to pay a fee per kilowatt versus the free that they get at these a lot of these charging stations. A lot of your listeners do not get a sign that says free gasoline. So the public free chargers, why are we giving away the fuel and not utilizing back in the system for maintenance of our roads? Whether you track it with a tracker or not, the intent is to balance the equity on paying fair share. That's where I'm going with all this, to contribute to roads maintenance that we all need, you know, the pothole repair program, let's call it.
Are we ever going to get our $30 car tabs, you think?
Wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be a clear path this year with all going on. You know, when you cry the blue so much as when you have budget shortfalls, I think that that's going to be harder to get back to that this year.
Right.
And I'd like it, but it's not going to make it.
We got less than a minute. I was going to ask you about that whole budget shortfall. I thought we had a surplus, but we're like forecast. We forecast like for the future, right, when it comes to the budget and money mm-hmm. and stuff, right?
Yeah, we should remain calm on the budget, what you hear in the media and whatnot. We can fix this. We have lots of resources. It's money management that's going to matter the most. And watch your spending, work on your budgets. But we actually have a spending problem versus a money problem. So let's take it one step at a time here.
You think we'll be able to do it with this majority?
Well, I think we have to try. Nobody gets to give up because, after all, this is other people's money. It's the taxpayers' money that we're responsible with. And, you know, if we got to take it as serious as if it was our personal money. And I think we can insert that kind of attitude and pick our priorities. We can get through this.
Senator Jeff Wilson, thanks for spending some time with me today, and good luck up there in Olympia.
Thank you, Johnny. Look forward to next time.